To Have You Back Again, written and read by Tiny Pink Mouse. Jo Inland wakes up. He feels vaguely like there's something off with that. Like he shouldn't be waking up in the first place. He opens his eyes to darkness, which is frankly quite unhelpful. He sits up and waits for a bit, waving his hand in front of his face. It's too dark to really see anything but vague shapes, but at least that means he's probably not blind. He really, really doesn't want to go through that again. Because then Shen Wei might... Jolan gasps for breath, feeling like something tight and icy is wrapping itself around his heart. He can't breathe. Shen Wei is... No. That's not... Shen Wei isn't... He can't be gone. But Zhao Yunlan had seen him after... There'd been fire and pain and then... Shen Wei. He remembers. He squeezes his eyes shut and he can see Yi Tsun stabbing Shen Wei as that memory plays itself out against Zhao Yunlan's closed eyelids. He doesn't want to remember this, but remembering Shen Wei in that place beyond time, beyond life, maybe, isn't much better. Knowing that Shen Wei is gone, knowing that Zhao Yunlan should be... He had been burning, he had... No. Shen Wei can't be gone. Not if Zhao Yunlan is still here. Not when Zhao Yunlan is waking up. A door opens with a rush, banging lightly against the wall. Zhao Yunlan jerks his head up, his scream cutting off abruptly. He hadn't even realized he was screaming until that moment, until the echoes of it seemed to vibrate in the sudden silence. He swallows once, and his throat hurts from the screaming. He blinks at the figure in the doorway, backlit by a faint light from the other side of the door. The figure is blurry. He blinks furiously, and finally realizes it's his eyes that are blurry with tears. Fuck, he thinks, and tries to remember how to breathe. None of it really helps, since the tears just keep streaming down his cheeks. He feels lightheaded. Lan Lan, what's wrong? The figure asks in a voice some part of him thinks he should recognize, while hurrying toward him. She sits down on the bed and pulls him into her arms. For some reason, he doesn't even try to stop her, and just buries his face against her, his painfully fast heartbeat settling slightly. She smells of... Mom? He gasps against her chest. I'm here, Lan Lan. It's all fine. It was just a nightmare, she says soothingly, and Zhao Yunlan just cries more. He doesn't think he can stop. Zhao Yunlan must have fallen asleep at some point, because he wakes up again. It still feels wrong, but at least he has a bit more of a grip on himself now. The memory of Shen Wei doesn't take him by surprise this time. He can breathe through it now, even if it feels like it's ripping his heart to shreds, and tears still keep falling from his eyes. At least he keeps himself quiet. The room he's in is lighter now, and he thinks he remembers this room, kind of. He forces himself not to think about Shen Wei. His breath starts going faster and his fingers prickle and feel numb. He wipes at the tears in his eyes. He looks around the room. It is the room from his childhood, and the person who'd held him while he cried in the night had been his mom. She's alive, he thinks. Zhao Yunlan is alive. He's not supposed to be. Neither of them is supposed to be. He looks down at his two small hands. He throws the blanket off him and looks down at himself, at the light blue pajamas covered in tiny cats. None of this is right. He isn't right. Zhao Yunlan swallows, and a sudden pain twinges at his throat. Weirdly, it helps somehow. Makes this seem more real. He really had screamed his throat raw last night. That probably means this isn't a dream. You're not supposed to feel that kind of pain in dreams, right? He doesn't know how this could have happened. But he'll take a wild guess and blame the Hallows. It's not like Jaiolan hasn't time-traveled before, and he refuses to believe that someone would have trapped him in a nightmare. Not when it feels this real. Not when he remembers dying and burning. He doesn't think even that nightmare master could have made up that. Obviously, this isn't like the last time Jaiolan had time-traveled. That had made more sense, if time travel ever makes any sense. But then again, Jaiolan had died this time, hadn't he? He supposes that means wherever he had met Shen Wei, wherever the Hallows had taken him, he didn't have a body anymore. So what? The Hallows somehow stuffed him into his own past self? How does that even make sense? Why? He doesn't remember anything after Shen Wei. Jaiolan swallows and forces his mind back to the present. Shit, he's crying again. He wipes at his eyes and tries to take deep breaths. His fingers are tingling again, and his face feels numb. After a moment of breathing calmly, he feels a bit more normal. All right then. He doesn't care if this makes sense or not. It doesn't matter why the Hallows did what they did. He's here now. And he sure as fuck will make sure that things go different this time. He can save his mom. He can save Shen Wei. His hands tremble and he presses them against his thighs, the kitten-covered fabric bunching under his hands, and takes a few calming breaths. He might need some help. He's pretty sure a kid won't be able to do too much about stopping that Dixing Ren that had... He cuts off the thought. He doesn't need to remember the details of that. Not now. First things first. He really needs to get up and figure out how old he is right now. That way he can figure out how much time he has before... He swallows again, and it seems to hurt less this time. He tries to settle his breath. He probably also really should figure out what the hell he's actually supposed to be doing right now. His parents might... worry otherwise. School is probably a thing. Surely he's at least old enough for school. He should probably be a lot smaller otherwise, he thinks. A small hub of laugh escaping him. Yeah, being amused is better than being hysterical, he tells himself. He takes a few deep breaths, and then finally gets out of bed. Fuck, but his emotional control is shit right now. He's not sure if that's because kids are just not that good at it, or because Jaiolan is really not in the best of places emotionally speaking. He almost laughs at himself. Yeah, it's probably both. Turns out that school really is a thing he needs to go to. It turns out to be less of a disaster than he was expecting. He barely got through the morning with his mom, and by the time he got to school... His hopes weren't all that high. But apparently, at school, he can just avoid talking to most people, and everyone just assumes he's having a bad day or something. And apparently, Jaiolan, the kid, just doesn't have that many close friends. Now that he's forced to think about it, he remembers he'd been a pretty shy kid. Sensitive, he'd overheard his mom say at some point. He doesn't even remember to whom. Of course, while that solution works at school, he can't exactly avoid his mom. Not that he wants to. Of course he doesn't. It's just hard to look at her and not burst out into tears or run over to hug her. Probably both. And that reaction would make her worry. Jaiolan really hopes his emotions are going to level off a bit at some point. Because there's no way he's going to get through things like this. Somehow, Jaiolan manages to get through the week. And yeah, it turns out that suddenly avoiding talking to the other kids at all for a whole week might be something that people worry about, judging by the roundabout questions his teacher has asked him a few times. But that's fine, as long as no one tells his mom. They probably won't, since it's not like Jaiolan has caused any sort of trouble, and well... It's not like Jaiolan really knows how to do things any differently. He's not used to kids, and he sure as hell doesn't know how to talk to them when he's supposed to be one of them. Despite his best efforts, which admittedly kind of suck, his mom, probably predictably, notices that something is off. Somehow, and Jae-yoon-lan can't really figure out how, that leads to them visiting the SID, and Zhao Shun-chu in particular. It's only when he hears the beginnings of that argument between his parents that he realizes when this is. Maybe it's the unusual environment, but for some reason this argument, in particular, has been burned vividly into Jae-yoon-lan's mind. Of course he knows what date it is now, and he remembers one fast approaching date better than any other in his life. But that doesn't help him place past events, from a lifetime ago, into the right order. It's all a jumble of unconnected memories that could have happened at any point in his childhood. It's simply been too long. But surely, he thinks, something else must have led to this argument last time. Because Jae-yoon-lan had been different last time. Not this crying mess causing his mom to worry. Or does the last time even exist anywhere but in Jae-yoon-lan's mind? Maybe things will just keep happening the same, no matter how different Jae-yoon-lan is this time around. No matter what he does. Maybe he's just doomed to live through all the same things over again. Jae-yoon-lan bites the base of his thumb to keep the desperate noise inside and breathes. He's gotten some handle on his emotions by now, thankfully, but some things just sort of caused them to spill over. But there's no point in dwelling on things he has no way of knowing the answer to, he reminds himself. He'll just have to face things as they come. He's at the SID now, and he really needs to take advantage of the opportunity, not stand here and have a breakdown. He ignores his parents' arguing voices as he concentrates on what he needs to do. He walks away from his parents and into his father's office. He doesn't really try to hide what he's doing, because that would seem far more suspicious. A few people look at him sympathetically, no doubt thinking he just wants to escape the argument between his parents. He doesn't meet anyone's eyes. He recognizes Da Qing and has to forcefully remind himself that this isn't the time. Da Qing doesn't know him yet. Not really. Some part of him insists that if he just goes over there and picks Da Qing up and holds him, Da Qing will somehow recognize him, despite everything. But Da Qing doesn't remember, and Jae-yoon-lan hardly looks like he did when Da Qing saw him last. Later, he promises himself. He has all the time in the world to get to know Da Qing again. Getting the help to save his mom is more urgent. Seeing Shen Wei is more urgent. Making sure that Shen Wei is... He cuts off that train of thought before it gets too far. This isn't the time for that either. Once he's in his father's office, it doesn't take very long to find the incense. In many ways, his father is very predictable. He pockets one cone. It'll have to be enough. Any more might be noticed. Even one might be a risk. His dad is meticulous. But he will hardly suspect Jae-yoon-lan for it. So it should be fine. Then, all Jae-yoon-lan has to do is sit down and wait for his parents to finish their arguing, and for his mom to come get him, so they can go back home. Without his father. Some things will hopefully go differently this time around. But Jae-yoon-lan has no doubt that Zhao Shun-chu will still be Zhao Shun-chu. Jae-yoon-lan's eyes widen. Except when he isn't. When did Zhang Shi show up? Jae-yoon-lan sneaks out of the house that same night. Trying to summon the black-cloaked envoy at home, where his parents are, is a horrible idea. So, out at night in a close-by park it is. It's not like Jae-yoon-lan has that many choices. He makes very sure he's alone before he lights the incense and waits. There's a crackle of electricity before the portal twists into reality. Jae-yoon-lan's heart starts beating faster. A cold fog rises from nowhere, and at least Shen Wei still has his sense of drama. Then, Shen Wei is there, in all his masked and robed glory, and every plan Jayunan had for this moment flies out the window. All he can do is sob out Shen Wei, before tears start streaming down his face, and is crying uncontrollably. The fog dissipates into nothing, and Shen Wei just stares at him. He seems vaguely distressed, and Jayunan kind of wants to laugh, even as he's still crying. Take off that mask and smile at me, Shen Wei, please. He somehow manages to get out, not really thinking about what he's saying. He needs to look at Shen Wei. There's a sort of stunned silence, and Jayunan even manages to stop his sobs for a moment. Kunlun? Shen Wei asks, his voice barely above a whisper. Jayunan can only nod in answer, and then Shen Wei is pulling his mask off and smiling that radiant smile that always leaves Jayunan breathless. Now it makes Jayunan sob again, and Shen Wei crouches down in front of him and pulls Jayunan into his arms. Jayunan buries his face into Shen Wei's robes, holding on to Shen Wei like his life depends on it, the familiar scent of incense and Shen Wei surrounding him. Shen Wei should be asking questions. He shouldn't just believe some random kid. But Jayunan doesn't think he could stand it if Shen Wei didn't believe him. Not right now. It takes a while before Jayunan feels able to speak. I'm never losing you again, Xia Wei. He tells Shen Wei as firmly as he can, even when his voice still wavers from all the crying. Shen Wei's arms tighten around him. Or are you, Kunlun? Shen Wei answers with the fierceness that Jayunan loves so much. Jayunan, he says against Shen Wei's shoulder. My name is Jayunan. Jayunan, Shen Wei repeats reverently, and Jayunan bites his lip and tries very hard not to start crying again. I'm sorry for being such a mess. Jayunan half sobs into Shen Wei's shoulder. The crying is getting ridiculous, but Shen Wei is here, and for the first time in weeks, Jayunan doesn't need to pretend he's something he isn't. Even if Shen Wei has no clue what's going on, even if Shen Wei hasn't seen him in 10,000 years, Jayunan knows that Shen Wei won't hesitate to be there for him. Jayunan lifts his head a bit, wanting to look at Shen Wei. He's still the most beautiful thing Jayunan has ever seen. Shen Wei's eyes are damp and red-rimmed, even if he isn't full-on crying like some people. The hood of Shen Wei's robe has fallen back, and Jayunan's eyes are caught by the long hair. Oh, he says, managing to pry one hand away from his death grip on Shen Wei. He reaches out to run his fingers through Shen Wei's hair. I love your hair, you know. I'm glad you haven't cut it yet, he says, feeling a bit stupid as soon as the words are out. That's hardly the most relevant thing right now. Shen Wei ducks his head, smiling a bit, his ears growing ever so slightly pink. Jayunan takes a few breaths and doesn't immediately burst out crying again. I should explain, he says, tangling his hand into Shen Wei's hair. Can you, I don't know, take us somewhere more private first? It's not like there's anyone else in the nighttime park, but it feels like they might be interrupted. And Jayunan is aware enough to realize that the image they present is, well, people might have questions, and he's not in the mood for those explanations. Of course, Shen Wei says, and takes a small moment to think, before summoning a portal with a small gesture. Jayunan looks up at the stars twinkling in the sky. He's holding on to Shen Wei's hand, unwilling to entirely let go of him. Now that they're through the portal, he moves closer again, pressing himself against Shen Wei's side. Shen Wei wraps an arm around his shoulders and holds him close. It's weird being this much smaller than Shen Wei, but this is nice. Jialin's heart seems to be so much calmer when he can just be close to Shun Wei. Where are we? Jialin asks. It's somewhere close to where we used to talk, Shun Wei answers. Jialin takes another look. But 10,000 years have left everything unrecognizable, and it's probably not the precise location anyway. It seemed fitting. Such a romantic Xiaowei, Jialin teases lightly, and it feels so good to be able to do that, because everything is fine, everything will be fine. Shun Wei gives out a little huff. The bright stars leave the night lighter than Jialin would have expected, but Shun Wei can still definitely see a lot better than him in the darkness, and Jialin lets himself be led over to a rock to sit on. Well, for Shun Wei to sit on, while he climbs into Shun Wei's lap. If he's going to be stuck as a kid for the foreseeable future, he's going to take what advantage he can of it. Then Jialin proceeds to actually attempt an explanation. The time travel is confusing, especially since he seems to have done it at least twice now, if in entirely different ways. I don't know, Jialin says. It must have been the Hallows. But after I died, I didn't have a body. Shun Wei breathes in sharply at the mention of Jialin dying. He'd explained about both of them dying already, which is why right now he's being held very tightly against Shun Wei's chest. Like Shun Wei can prevent anything like that happening if he just holds on hard enough. Jialin sympathizes. He doesn't plan on letting go of Shun Wei anytime soon either. He knows his explanation is more than a bit lacking in details, but they have time for more detailed explanations later. He just needs to tell Shun Wei the rough outline of things right now, because secrets are bad. There will be no secrets between them, because that way lay sacrifices and death, and Jialin will not have that. Again. So it's best to just start how he means to go on, and he'll make sure Shun Wei will have no reason to hide things either. For a while after he's done explaining, Jialin is happy to just sit there with his head pressed against Shun Wei's shoulder, Shun Wei's arms around him, his fingers tangled in Shun Wei's long hair. Shun Wei doesn't remember half of their shared history, and unlike before, he might never remember it. There's a faint ache in Jialin's heart for all that they've lost. But still, Shun Wei is here, and Jialin will take that over the alternative any day. Jialin sighs into Shun Wei's shoulder, and then lifts his head to look at Shun Wei. Shun Wei, I need your help, he says. He doesn't want to think about the details of his mom's death. Every time he does, he's thrown into a near panic attack, but it's not like he has any choices here. He sure as fuck won't let anything happen to his mom again. Of course, Jialin. Whatever you need, Shun Wei offers promptly. Jialin smiles a bit sadly. Because yeah, that's his Shun Wei, all right. My mom's going to be killed by a Dixingren, he says quickly. Jialin's breath hitches, and he has to fight to manage to draw in a somewhat steady breath. Shun Wei's eyes flare wider, but then his hands are framing Jialin's face, his thumbs wiping away the tears Jialin suddenly realizes are falling from his eyes again. Tell me what happened, Shun Wei says gently. And Jialin can't see a single doubt in him that what Jialin said isn't the simple truth. He draws in a breath, and it's a bit easier than he expects. He takes another breath and starts talking, Shun Wei's arms falling to loosely circle his waist. There's a lot of details I don't remember, Jialin says, because yeah, trauma is a funny thing like that. Some images he can never get rid of, but some things just aren't there. He'd never thought he'd need those details one day. But I know what his power is. And I know my father, Zhao Shunzhi was trying to catch him. He sees how Shunwei's eyes widen at his father's name. Zhaolan hadn't quite gotten around to mentioning that yet either. There's only so much information he can cram into a relatively short explanation, after all. It hadn't quite been that important at the moment. "What do you remember, Zhaolan?" Shunwei asks, instead of saying anything about Zhao Shunzhi. It feels like if he closes his eyes, he could see that same scene play out before him again. He's dreamt it enough times that maybe he can. But how much of that memory is even accurate? He keeps his eyes on Shunwei instead, and tells him about his mom's death. How Zhaolan hadn't been able to do anything but watch. By the end of it, Zhaolan's face is pressed against Shunwei's shoulder again, while Shunwei strokes his back, making small soothing noises at him. It helps. "It's enough, isn't it? You can..." Zhaolan asks, his voice shaky. "I'll find him," Shunwei promises. "Nothing will happen to your mother, Zhaolan." The relief of someone else, of Shunwei telling him that, feels like a weight lifted off his chest. He heaves in a gulp of air. He might be shaking a bit. This is a promise from Shunwei that Zhaolan finds himself having no trouble believing. "Thank you, Xiaowei," Zhaolan whispers. He feels exhausted. "I hate being a kid," he sighs tiredly into Shunwei's shoulder. Shunwei lets out an amused huff and strokes Zhaolan's hair. "I admit, it will take some getting used to." "Try living it," Zhaolan mumbles. Eventually, Zhaolan has to go back home. If nothing else, he really needs to get some actual sleep before the next day of school. And Shunwei needs to go back to Dixing and get on with tracking down that Dixing Ren before he ever gets a chance to do anything. Zhaolan doesn't ask what Shunwei plans to do about him. Zhaolan doesn't particularly want to think about the fact that maybe that man isn't guilty of anything at all yet. Because even then, he suspects that part of him still wouldn't mind if Shunwei decided that beheading was the most efficient solution. Of course, by the time Zhaolan is alone, he can't quite make the thought go away. He'll have to ask the next night when he sees Shunwei again. They'd agreed to meet up again, neither of them willing to stay apart any longer than necessary. Zhaolan is exhausted and irritable the whole day, which doesn't in any way at all help deal with a bunch of kids. Damn, but it turns out that kids really do need all of that sleep, and whatever else Zhaolan might be, his body is very much that of a child. That night, Zhaolan ends up excusing himself to go to bed early. His mom looks at him worriedly and asks him if he's feeling okay. Zhaolan makes an excuse about not sleeping well last night. He regrets it almost immediately when he sees the worried furrow between her brows deepen. Belatedly, he realizes that she'll definitely think he's having more nightmares. It's not like she's wrong. There's a lot of things for Zhaolan to have nightmares about, and apparently that's the way his mind has decided to deal with things stuck in a kid's body as it is. He just doesn't want his mom worrying about it. He's managed not to wake her up again after that first night, at least. He naps restlessly for a while, worried about falling too deeply into sleep, before dragging himself up from his bed to go meet Shunwei again. Getting up feels like a struggle, but sleep will never be more important than Shunwei, so he shakes off the lethargy as best he can and quietly sneaks out. It's only the second night, and Zhaolan can tell already that this solution is hardly sustainable, especially since he can only hope that his mom doesn't get the urge to check up on him during the night, what with the nightmares she thinks he's having. They'll have to figure out something else. Maybe he can introduce Shunwei to his mom. For a moment that thought feels absurd, and then he wonders, why not? He can do that now, can't he? He'd always thought his mom would have liked Shunwei. Shunwei is waiting for him, This time there are no robes, and Shunwei is wearing a pair of dark trousers and a light sweater. Jiaolan can't tell the exact color of any of it in the dark. His hair is pulled back in a loose ponytail, and Jiaolan's fingers itch with the urge to wrap around the long hair, to just touch any part of Shunwei, really. He doesn't even think before he tiredly walks straight at Shunwei and wraps his arms around Shunwei's waist, pressing his face against Shunwei. Shunwei lets out a soft noise and hugs Jiaolan close. Jiaolan, is everything all right? Shunwei asks after a moment of quiet, keeping Jiaolan pressed close to himself. Jiaolan mumbles, muffled against Shunwei's shirt. Missed you. Shunwei huffs softly, lifting a hand to pet Jiaolan's hair. Jiaolan makes a tired, content noise. It feels nice. Touching Shunwei feels nice. The warm safety of Shunwei close to him, seeping into his bones and making him feel even more drowsy. Kids need a lot of sleep, he mumbles into Shunwei's shirt, not quite sure if it's an explanation or an apology. Maybe it'll work as both. Both would be good. Jiaolan closes his eyes. He thinks he could fall asleep here, leaning against Shunwei. I should introduce you to my mom. Shunwei's hand that had been petting his hair stops. Jiaolan? Jiaolan has to take a moment to drag himself back from the edge of sleep and rewind what he just said. Right, yeah, that. I need to see you, Shunwei, and I can't keep sneaking out of the house every night, he explains. Before Shunwei can respond, he adds, missing sleep isn't good for me. Blatant emotional manipulation. How I've missed you, Jiaolan thinks dryly. It's probably unfair that he knows Shunwei so well by now, and knows that Shunwei will definitely not want to do anything that has the remote chance of being harmful to Jiaolan. But Jiaolan didn't even try to be subtle about it. Maybe somehow that makes it okay. I'm not sure it's a good idea, Shunwei says hesitantly, but at least goes back to stroking Jiaolan's hair. I always wanted you to meet my mom, Jiaolan tells him, because it's true. The thought that he can actually take Shunwei to see his mom now hits him again suddenly. Sharper now, and for a moment the world turns sideways and everything feels unreal. Jiaolan grasps at Shunwei's sweater and tries to calm his shaky breathing. Jiaolan? Shunwei asks, sounding worried. Jiaolan squeezes his eyes shut tighter, breathes in Shunwei's familiar scent, fists his hand in Shunwei's sweater. Please, just keep talking to me, Xiaowei, Jiaolan says shakily. Of course, Shunwei says, and then hesitates for a moment. I think I found the right man, he says, petting Jiaolan's hair gently. He's still living in Dixing. Didi will give him a job at the palace. That way we can keep an eye on him and make sure he never leaves Dixing. Jiaolan is so relieved at the news that his mom will be all right, that it takes him a moment to process the rest of what Shunwei just said. When he does, he's so surprised that he forgets about everything else. Jiaolan pulls his head away from Shunwei and leans back enough to stare up at Shunwei's face. Shunwei meets his gaze, startled at Jiaolan's abrupt movement. Yetun? Jiaolan asks, and it comes out as a faint, shocked whisper. Yetun, he tries again, this time with a bit more force. The rebel leader, trapped in a pillar, crazy younger brother. Shunwei frowns. He's better now, he says slowly, and the conviction there isn't exactly bowling Jiaolan over. He's not trapped in the pillar anymore, Shunwei adds. Jiaolan takes a deep breath and doesn't yell at Shunwei for keeping this a secret, because clearly Shunwei isn't keeping it a secret. He's talking about it right now. Zhaoyunlan's mind is reeling with the new information, because this is different. He hadn't thought about things being different from what he remembered. Not like this. Not things that Zhaoyunlan hasn't, couldn't have changed. Maybe he should have. Of course, he should have at least thought of it. Zhaoyunlan being here will change things, but somehow it hasn't occurred to him that things might already be different. This was something that must have happened before Zhaoyunlan arrived here. How is that even possible? Does that mean this isn't Zhaoyunlan's world at all? Maybe Zhaoyunlan cuts off his spiraling thoughts, letting his head fall against Shunwei again. Breathe, Zhaoyunlan, he tells himself. Just breathe. Shunwei, I think I really need you to tell me about your brother and Di Xing, he says, once he feels a bit steadier. His voice still shakes. Because some things are definitely different than what I remember, and I need to... His voice stutters to a halt, and he concentrates on breathing again while Shunwei holds him. This is getting ridiculous, Zhaoyunlan thinks, annoyed at himself. How is he going to do anything if he keeps falling into hysterics every time he even thinks about something mildly upsetting? He almost expects Shunwei to refuse to tell him. Those are topics that Shunwei has never been exactly forthcoming on. Hell, he'd never actually told Zhaoyunlan he had a brother. Instead, Shunwei strokes his back soothingly and says, "We should figure out where the differences are then." He has to wonder if this is something that's changed too. Maybe Shunwei just thinks Zhaoyunlan already knows all of his secrets. But then again, being caught out had never stopped Shunwei from continuing with his lies. Like he just didn't know how to stop. Maybe being told that the lies would end up with both of them dead had made Shunwei think. Maybe Shunwei just hasn't grown into the lying yet. Maybe. 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 Zhaoyunlan's mind is spinning and it feels like everything is slipping out of control. Shunwei's arms are still tied around him, holding him in place. Zhaoyunlan breathes and nods. Yeah. Yeah, that would be good. Shunwei takes them away from the park again, and Zhaoyunlan curls up against Shunwei's side, winding his hand into Shunwei's ponytail. Shunwei puts his arm around Zhaoyunlan, holding him again, and it makes things a bit better. Zhaoyunlan listens to Shunwei give a brief summary of the current situation in Di Xing. It's about as detailed as Zhaoyunlan's own day last night, which is to say not at all, and he can't really blame Shunwei for the lack of detail. It sounds like things are better than what Zhaoyunlan would expect, and that's something he should be happy about. But anxiety gnaws away at his insides, and he can't seem to make it stop. That feeling mixes with the guilt of wanting things to be worse for people just so it would be something that Zhaoyunlan knows from before, and leaves Zhaoyunlan struggling to concentrate on what Shunwei is actually telling him. He didn't believe me the first time we talked, of course, Shunwei says, when Zhaoyunlan asks about Yitsun's, well, mental state. But I think being trapped in that pillar was not something I would have wished for. Shunwei's words cut off, and Zhaoyunlan can hear the pain in them. But it gave Di Di time to think. Zhaoyunlan is pretty sure that hadn't been a good thing last time around. Whatever Yitsun had been thinking about stuck in that pillar had only made him worse. Zhaoyunlan tries to think about what Shunwei is saying. He isn't entirely sure what Yitsun wouldn't have believed Shunwei about. He knows very little about the relationship between the brothers, apart from the fact that neither of them has ever quite been able to let go of each other. Wait, what had Shunwei just said? The hollow of anxiety burrowed in his chest keeps trying to pull in all his thoughts, and Zhaoyunlan frowns as he tries to concentrate on whatever it was that had caught his attention. Then, Zhaoyunlan pulls away from Shunwei and looks at him with wide eyes. You talked to Yitzhun before he got stuck in that pillar. Yes, of course, Shunwei says, like it's obvious. Like Zhao Yunlan should know this. Fuck, that's it, isn't it? Zhao Yunlan ups out a laugh. The sudden giddy relief sweeping through him leaves him reeling. Xiaowei, was I there for it? Did it happen when Kunlun... Zhao Yunlan runs out of words and just waves a hand in the air instead. You helped me find him, Shunwei says, frowning a little. More laughter bubbles out of Zhao Yunlan, and it might be a bit hysterical. Zhao Yunlan is everything, Shunwei starts to ask worriedly. Zhao Yunlan waves his hand at him, and then falls back against Shunwei's side, wrapping his arms around Shunwei and giggling into his side. I'm fine, he manages to say eventually, because he's probably freaking the hell out of Shunwei. He takes a moment to calm down a bit more before saying anything else. It's just... I was planning on changing things, Shunwei, he says, and then can't help letting out another relieved huff of laughter. But I think I already did. It doesn't take Shunwei very long to catch on to what Zhao Yunlan is saying. You remember things differently, Shunwei says, and there's a sad note to his voice. Zhao Yunlan's giddy relief fizzles out a bit. I'm sorry, Xiaowei, he whispers, because he is. He's not sure if there ever can be a day where both of them catch up to the same point in their relationship anymore. He's pretty sure Shunwei has just been hit with that fact too. Shunwei's arms tighten around him. I'm not who you remember either, Shunwei says quietly. Zhao Yunlan can't see his face, but he can sense the guilt coming off him all the same. Zhao Yunlan pulls away to look at Shunwei again. My treasure, you... Zhao Yunlan stops and takes a moment to think about what he wants to say. Our relationship has been a tangle of secrets and lies, and history that one of us doesn't remember. None of it has ever... will ever change how I feel about you. He grasps Shunwei's hand. And now you have to live with me being... He looks down at himself and huffs, tear stinging at his eyes. Like this. And we still don't remember the same things. But, Xiaowei, I love you. I'll always love you. Zhao Yunlan tries to blink the tears away, but they spill over anyway. And he feels the quiet tears roll down his cheeks. Shunwei's eyes are brimming with tears as well, and he watches with blurry eyes as they start falling from Shunwei's eyes. Zhao Yunlan smiles a bit unsteadily. And this time, at least we're already doing a lot better about the lies and secrets, even if we can't do much about all the memories we can't share. Shunwei makes a wet, teary huff. Zhao Yunlan hesitates for a second, and then climbs up into Shunwei's lap, hugging Shunwei for all that he's worth. Shunwei wraps his arms around him and hugs back just as hard. Zhao Yunlan really doesn't get enough sleep that night either, and the whole day is an absolute nightmare. The kids at school are annoying and loud, and Zhao Yunlan almost ends up arguing with the teacher before he remembers that he's supposed to just stay quiet and keep to himself and get through with minimal notice. At least he thinks he manages not to worry his mom any more than usual. Maybe that's a low bar, but he'll consider it an accomplishment anyway. He made Shunwei promise to meet him in the park after Zhao Yunlan gets home from school, and he just keeps concentrating on the thought of seeing Shunwei, and somehow manages to get through the day. His mom is a bit surprised when he decides to go outside, and Zhao Yunlan suddenly realizes that he's been spending a lot of time alone in his room, and he's not sure if he did that when he was actually this age. He can't really blame his mom for worrying, can he? He must be acting out of character, and he isn't even sure how. Zhao Yunlan is pretty sure he feels Shunwei before he sees him, And yeah, they've always had a connection, but that's probably a bit more than usual. That's probably something to look into at some point. But considering all the sharing of energy and dying and... Ryland takes a shaky breath and makes himself not focus on it too much. Maybe some side effects are to be expected. Then he's hugging Shunwei again, and none of the rest really matters. There are other people in the park now to look at them strangely. It is daytime, after all. And it's not like Ryland cares, but he takes a step back, reluctantly letting go of Shunwei, and then quickly takes Shunwei's hand instead. It's only then that he really has time to take in Shunwei's appearance. He's in a nice blue suit, and his hair is in a braid of all things. The suit is different from the one Ryland remembers, but it's the same blue, and he smiles, feeling nostalgic suddenly. He reaches out to tug at the braid, and Shunwei smiles down at him with a fond, indulgent look in his eyes. "I like the suit," Ryland tells him. "You look good, Xiaowei." Shunwei ducks his head a bit, but since Ryland is shorter than him now, it does nothing to hide the little pleased smile. Ryland feels a soft warmth slowly spread through him. He squeezes Shunwei's hands tighter with his own too small one. As long as Shunwei is here, Ryland can figure out all the rest. After all, he should have more than enough time now. "So, let's go see my mom," Ryland says. The end.